You see him come off the line of scrimmage with that little hop step.
Move off the line of scrimmage.
Release off the line of scrimmage.
Back to the face mask as he's coming off the line of scrimmage.
Watch him just slow play this off the line of scrimmage.
Saw the release off the line of scrimmage.
Yo, what's going on, people? It is another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast. We are back after missing last week, episode 107. I'm excited for this episode because we're here. It's combine week, man. I'm excited about some of these prospects that we're interested in seeing and running and, you know, doing interviews and whatnot. So we'll be talking about, you know, some combine stuff. We just saw Prize Picks. They also dropped combine numbers, you know, 40 times. Didn't think they were going to do it, but they brought it back for your boy. So we'll talk about some of those numbers that and players that we're liking on those. We'll also be talking best ball ADP. You know, we're DGens over here, so we're already drafting best ball teams for 2024. So we'll look at some of the trends for each of positions and what we're kind of seeing right now to, you know, give y'all some foresight on what to look for, especially before the combine. Because once we see these players on NFL Network, they don't even have to run. The ADPs are probably going to jump crazy or they're going to drop crazy. So we'll be talking about some of those and what we're seeing beforehand. So to the other host of the show, Ike, how you doing? How you feeling, man?
Yeah, exciting time. Exciting time. Underwear Olympics upon us. You know, that's what they call it, I think. I don't know if they still call it that, but that's, you know, it is upon us. But yeah, I'm definitely excited to see some of these players, you know, get their 40 time on, get some of these drills going. And, you know, to your point, we're going to see a lot of movement after this weekend. We're going to see a lot of movement in the best ball streets. We're probably going to see a lot of we're going to see the big board. I don't know how much it's filled so far, but we're going to see a spike in a lot of entries by the end of this weekend.
We are at 33.8% currently.
Yeah, we're going to see a spike. We're going to see quite a spike once the combine hits and, you know, we see some of these rookies, perform well, maybe perform not so well. So yeah, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. And with regards to the combine, like, who is the player that you're looking most forward to seeing?
You know, the one player for sure is our Najee brother, Roma Dunze, man. So he's the top guy that's going to be at the combine. The other two are like, man, I don't got to do nothing. You've seen the tape. If you haven't, go look at the tape. You're going to get me where you're going to get me. So I respect him for doing that because, I mean, that's more of a trend. Like, what else is there? Like, you've been hyping up Marv since the beginning of last year, especially when he did the pro day that he didn't even have to do. He wanted to put it on tape early for people so they already knew what time it was. And then Malik Nabers, same thing. You just say, hey, I don't need to do nothing. You've seen it. You can get me where you're going to get me. So I appreciate Rome for, you know, peasing our appetite for seeing one of the top receivers show up and do some stuff at the combine. I'm also interested in seeing J.J. McCarthy, which is a name that people have been hyping up. Looks like he's going to be doing everything there because, you know, we already seen some of the other quarterbacks that they're just going to be there, you know, kissing babies, talking to some people, and that's it. Because again, y'all seen the tape. You're going to get me where you're going to get me.
Yeah, so, I think they're interviewing tomorrow morning. Part of the schedule is all the quarterbacks are going to interview like 9:30 Eastern. So, of course, some of that stuff is going to be overanalyzed. Some of the answers are going to be overanalyzed. I think they're going to take that test that TJ Stroud took last year. I don't know if they took
it. I wonder how many of them are actually going to take it since CJ was like, this is stupid.
I want to say like some people already opted out of taking it. I might have heard, but and that's, you know, that's smart. So we're gonna start seeing silly season kickoff.
And another thing, I saw a tweet today where they were talking about Caleb. A guy said that he walked by Caleb and he was like, "Yeah, he doesn't look really that much bigger than Bryce Young." I was like, "Wait, what?"
Oh my gosh.
But we'll know for sure when they measure. But that would be wild.
Silly season. Yeah, I'm telling you.
That would be wild. So
What is he trying to say? Like the flak jacket that he wears,
yeah,
is skewing things. Get out of here. Get the hell.
Right. I know. Who on the defensive side want to see? You know, Chop Robinson from Penn State, the outside linebacker. You know, people are hyping him up. I want to see. I'm really interested in seeing. Byron Murphy. And see what he does in terms of running wise, because I know
Byron Murphy.
He's one of the D linemen, one of the top D linemen that's coming out. I'm interested in seeing how he performs and how he improves his stock, because he's pretty much one of them guys where he should be going in the top 10 for sure. So that was just a couple of my guys I want to see. What about you? Who are you interested?
I mean, you stole Odunze from me. So Odunze was probably he's like the main one that I wanted to see. Obviously. Neighbors and Harrison aren't running, but Odunze, like, he's the one that he's led all receivers since 2022 in receiving yards. Just shy of 2,800. So he's been super productive. And I'm looking forward to seeing like how he runs and how he gets in and out of his breaks. Obviously, we've seen it on the tape. We see his explosive playmaking nature. He can return punts for touchdowns. Like, the guy can do it all. Interesting thing about him though is 81.1% of his snaps have been out wide. So he's not going to be in the slot at all. He's going to be an outside guy. And he's going to be I feel like he can dominate at the next level. So looking forward to seeing that. Also looking forward to seeing the running backs, because the running back class has been kind of, it's been kind of highly slept on. But a lot of these running backs, it appears like they're going to be taking part in a lot of the testing and a lot of the drills. So they're going to want to show they're going to want to show off their stuff and make a name for themselves and say, hey, look, we're not some poo-poo class that a lot of people aren't really hyping up that much. We'll see Blake Corum, we'll see Bucky Irving, we'll see some of these guys perform at the combine. So we'll see. But just switching gears from like not player related, but it's just kind of like as a collective. One thing that the NFL has done a really, really good job of is they're having, at least this year, I think this is like one of the first years we've seen it, all the skill guys running.
Yes, sir. Yes, that sir. I
can't wait. So you don't have to just focus on, okay, well, Tuesday at 2 p.m. or some shit, whatever. We'll get wide receivers and linebackers, like the most odd groupings. Of players or of positions running together, but you got the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers.
Yes, sir.
They listen to the fans. They care. That's what matters. So I can't wait for that. So all running at the same time. That's the biggest thing going into the combine that I'm excited about. Outside of just a few select players here and there.
Yeah. All right. So one last thing we want to talk about in terms of combine before we get into this underdog ADP. Prize Picks, they dropped 40 times, man. We didn't think this was gonna happen. They blessed us with this Christmas gift. They tried to sneak it up on us, but we got the alert and we had to tap in before they start jumping these lines. But just real quick, some of the players in terms of 40 times that I was really interested in was Braylon Allen. They have him listed at 4.4. I don't think so, my friend. I put more on that one. Blake Corum, they got him at 4.39. I don't think so, my friend. I put him as more. Xavier Leggett, they got him at 4.32. He's fast, but 4.32 fast. 4.32
fast. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that one. So I went more on that one. Roman Wilson, 4.32. He's fast.
But not that.
I don't know he's that fast.
I don't know what they're seeing, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're seeing with these 40 times.
Yeah, so I put more on that one too. They also had who else did I put? Oh, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas. They have him at 4.3 flat.
That's pretty fast.
I think he comes in
somewhere around like 4.39, 4.37.
I don't think he's 4.3 speed. 4.3 that's my flat, opinion. Though. Yeah, 4.3 flat.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know.
That's definitely pushing it. It's definitely.
Yeah, so I put more on him on that one too. Trey Benson, running back from Florida State, 4.37. He's a 6'1 running back. He runs straight up. I don't know about that one. If it's me, my money was on him running over that. So, yeah. And also, there is a corner. What was his name? Nate Wiggins. Ray told me about this before it came on air. They got him right now as 4 or 5 5. I've seen Nate run. I believe he's faster than that. So I'll put less on that one. Just to put it out there. Oh, they also had Roman Dunze, a guy that ran track in high school. I think he ran the 200 and the 400. I believe. I think his 200 time in high school was like a low 21.3, low 21.4, something like that. It's pretty fast in high school.
Yeah.
But again, 4.36. I don't know about that one. I leaned more on that one when I was going and picking some of these players. So
4.36. That's a tough one because
he does have the stride, but
he does have the stride. I mean, he could be
6'4". He has to get to his highest point of like his acceleration pretty quick. So,
but he's,
to me, I felt like. He is a track guy, yes. I felt like that might be – he might be like low 4.4s, high 4.3s, but 4.36, I leaned over. That was just my – I mean, again, this is my opinion. He might run faster than that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it'd be safe to lean over because he can still run like a 4.39, 4.38, mm-hmm. something. You know, that'll still be like crazy fast for a guy his size. You know, there'll be like a height adjusted speed score on Player Profiler that we'll see, you know, after that, and it'll be off the charts.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible he runs in the 4.3s, but 4.36, man, it's up there. It's high.
Yeah, it's up there. And then some other notables that I've been thinking about that y'all might be interested in is Brock Bowers at 4.5 flat. We do have a corner Tyler Owens is at 4.3 flat. I believe he might have the fastest time besides X on here. So it's interesting to see that one. They got Troy Franklin at 4.36. I think that one would be pretty close because Troy can just flat out fly.
I feel like he can go under that. I think he can go under that. I think Troy can.
Yeah. Yeah. We got Jermaine Burton at 4.32. Another guy I'm like, I don't know. I know he's fast, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Some reason they got Jonathan Brooks listed on here. He's recovering from a torn ACL. they got Jalen Wright, somebody they've
all,
been.
All the more reason for, just real quick before you get to Jalen Wright, all the more reason for you to pounce on these lines because they got people on there that aren't even participating.
Yeah. Right?
You know what I'm saying? So it's because they're just putting out bullshit lines right now and then maybe they'll adjust them because you know they're gonna adjust
the market. The market is gonna force them.
The market's gonna force them to adjust, and they will adjust accordingly. So like the dialogue that we're having right now about some of these 40 times, they're probably going to, you know, the betting market will shift in those particular directions.
Jalen Wright, who a lot of analysts are talking up right now, 4.31. Another guy I know, he's straight line speed. If you watch his tape, he just like don't have him go like side to side, but straight line, he can fly. But 4.31, again, I don't know about that one.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of anybody else. Audric Estime, big running back from Notre Dame.
Is Bucky Irving on there?
Yes, 4.47.
4.47.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That's an interesting one that might be lower. Yeah. They had Pennix on here.
Oh, that's like 4.6, right? 4.64 is
4.64.
That,
yeah.
A guy
he can't run.
Yeah. Now
the one thing though, the
one pushback I have was it the fact that he can't run or did he just didn't run?
Because no, he didn't run, but he can't run because he's had two ACL surgeries. Okay. That's why he doesn't run anymore. Before he went to Washington, that's all he did was run.
Yeah.
As soon as his knees gave up twice, he was like, I'm not doing that no more. I'm just going to show off my arm. So
yeah,
that's why I'm like, this has to be over because he don't run. He can't run.
Yeah.
That's
true. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Jaden Daniels, a 4.52, but he already told us he's not doing nothing.
He's not doing anything. Neighbors isn't doing anything. Harris is not doing. I bet they have Harrison listed.
And he's not. They don't.
Okay.
They don't have him listed. I don't know why they got Jaden. He already told us he's not doing nothing.
Is Brian Thomas on there?
Yes, he is. He is at, where did I just see him? He is at 4.46.
Okay.
He's a long strider. And if you've seen his tape, he can run.
He can definitely fly. He can definitely
fly. So I think that would be close. That's why they want to really mess with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sure that I hit Prize Pick over the head with some of these picks.
Yeah, hit him over the head with this
one. Yeah. So I was trying to point out ones that I really like. I think that should go over or under, depending on what I said. Oh, and I also got Ladd McConkey at 4.58. So I think that one's close too. I think he can go a little bit faster than that, in my opinion. So
yeah,
that is Prize Picks 40 times. So, you know, indulge in that, have some fun with it.
Yeah, I may take a look. I may take a look after we get off to see see what's popping.
Yeah,
maybe just take a little gander, see what's happening.
Yeah, get a vacation paid for, man.
Yeah. Yeah, get a little vacation check. Get a little pizza money. Put a little pizza money on. All right. So next, we're going to get into the ADP trends for Underdog Fantasy. Obviously, we've been doing best ball. The best ball season is off and running. And, you know, we'll see a lot of ADP shifts after the combine, especially with the rookies. But we want to get into some of these notable ADPs that we're seeing so far. You know, since we've been drafting, you know, let's start with the quarterbacks. I mean, the top four pretty self-explanatory: Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. And then the next two we have C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson. You know, at 5 and 6, what do you make of those two? Because C.J. Stroud at 5. I like CJ Stroud a lot. You think he's top five?
So when I saw those two names above, like Joe Burrow, Dak, people that kind of been doing it, you know, consistently the last few years, and then you got the new toys, the new kids on the block at 5 and 6. I'm just like, ugh. I mean, I can understand Anthony Richardson, the potential, but Stroud, I mean. For what he did his rookie season, he threw 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. You're expecting him to – he has to elevate from – like, he has to go up like a whole nother, you know, 40, 50, 60 points to legitimize him being, like, in that top five, that top echelon, because he doesn't run. So you're expecting his offense
That's the thing.
You're expecting his offense to look like something like Patrick Mahomes, where he threw the ball, 600 times, and you need Stroud to get in that range. He only threw it 500 times, but he did miss a couple of games, so it's possible. But what is the outcome that you're going to see that currently? Because I mean, obviously we have free agency that's coming up. They could add something, and then now you can kind of justify him, you know, being in that range. For me, I think it's a little eager, even for Richardson, but I can get Richardson because of the ability for him to run and pass. And when he did play, I mean, he was QB1. So yeah,
he was definitely a QB1.
So I get it. I get it.
Yeah. It definitely makes sense for Richardson, but Stroud, not so much because he doesn't run. I mean, you know, fantasy points per game, they were actually like kind of, you know, they were relatively neck and neck. You know, they're around 18 fantasy points a game, but Anthony Richardson was just kind of getting ramped up, and he only played 4 games. And you definitely saw the ceiling. Had 4 rushing touchdowns. And so, you know, and you know, I think another part of it is that Anthony Richardson may not have Michael Pittman, because I don't think they're going to use a franchise tag on Michael Pittman. So they're going to have another wide receiver that they're going to have to. Nah,
there's no way they let him leave, man.
I hope not. I hope they don't let him leave. That would be sabotage for your you know, second year signal caller. So that would be obviously a terrible idea for the Colts. But I'm seeing a lot of these hypotheticals. Oh, what if Michael Pittman ends up with the Chiefs, or he ends up with this team, or ends up with that team? How scary would this offense look? Mm. we got a couple weeks until, you know, the league year starts and free agency starts. Let's just hope that Michael Pittman remains a Colt and salvages, you know, Anthony Richardson's. Well, I wouldn't say salvages, but just continues to help, you know, Anthony Richardson's development. But just moving on down the quarterback list, I mean, we have Caleb Williams as the first rookie quarterback at QB 16, you know, followed by Jaden Daniels at QB 18, and then the next quarterback after that is Drake May at QB 22. And so that, I think that's Caleb Williams and Drake May. I'm sorry, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels going, you know, top 20 quarterbacks being drafted. I mean, I guess that makes sense because they're essentially going to be, you know, top 10 picks. Obviously, Caleb Williams is going to go number one, but Jaden Daniels, he'll probably fall somewhere in the top 10 along with Drake May. So this is, I think this is a good range for these quarterbacks. And I think in the last best ball draft that I did, I have Caleb Williams as like my second or third quarterback. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. So he's going in that range. His ADP is like, you know, the 112 range. So that's like the 10th round, I believe. 10th or, you know, 9th or 10th or 11th round. One of those sweet spots rounds. It's a pretty good range for him, but you know, so you know, obviously landing spots, you know, we'll see, you know, different contests, you know, come, you know, later on in the offseason. But I think right now, as before the dust really settles, I think this is a pretty good range for those rookie quarterbacks. And then you have JJ McCarthy all the way down at QB 31. So I mean, McCarthy, Penix, and Bo Nix, like back-to-back-to-back being drafted, basically free at the end of your drafts. So
yeah.
So we'll see where they end up landing, and you know, we'll look back at the big board, and you know, one of these guys has a really, really stellar rookie season. I know JJ McCarthy is steaming up draft boards right now.
Yeah, that's why I don't think this QB 31 is gonna last. I think this thing is gonna be up there.
So the D-gens like us are gonna be hammering drafts, and they're gonna probably have JJ McCarthy as one of their last quarterbacks being drafted, and so or last players period being drafted.
So one takeaway that I got from, you know, seeing, you know, how these quarterbacks have been going so far, the quarterbacks that have like different type of environments around them, meaning like, you know, the coaching changes, or you know, the rumors of them not leaving their teams, they seem to be down for the community. So people like, you know, Justin Fields, like, I mean, he's still not even that as down as I thought he would be. He's at QB9 for somebody where they got him, you know, favored by minus 200 to be traded to Atlanta, traded to Pittsburgh. So,
man, if he goes to Atlanta, they are going to put, like, they're going to put up Wilt Chamberlain as an offense.
We were talking about this in the Destination Discord today and yesterday, talking about what the potential will look like if Justin Fields actually goes there. Now, you got to think about it. The coordinator that's there, he's coming from McVay. McVay hasn't had a quarterback like this. All his quarterbacks have been, you know, staying in the pocket with Goff and Stafford. So it'd be a little different when you add somebody that has the dual threat ability and who struggled with accuracy when he was in the pocket. Now, if you have him on the move, he looked a little bit better. So it would be, it'd be interesting for sure. And I get why people are drafting him at QB9, just because of like the potential, like, hey, if he goes here, then I beat the market, because he's probably going to, I mean, you got Dak and Joe Burrow. Like, if he goes to Atlanta, does he hop over those two? Does he hop over Anthony Richardson and or CJ Stroud and gets back into that top five category like he was, what, pretty much the end of last year? I mean, coming into this season, because of what he did at the end of last year, so not the previous year. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. I'm assuming that's people trying to beat the market in terms of where he goes next.
He's still in the top, firmly in the top 10, because we've seen the ceiling, right? We've seen the ceiling multiple times. Like in 2022, we saw the ceiling of him being, you know, a 1,100 yard rusher, right? Didn't really do as much with the past, you know, with his through the air, but through, you know, with his legs, we saw a thousand yard rushing. So he still has that, right? He still has that ability. And then in 2023, we saw a little bit of that ceiling as well. I mean, there were some things that he improved on as a passer, and he had DJ Moore to throw to. He had finally had a legit number one wide receiver, something he hasn't had throughout his entire career in Chicago up until that point. So that's another thing we got to remember. Like, he hasn't really had the weapons. I mean, they tried the whole Chase Claypool trading for him experiment. That didn't work. Darnell Mooney, who I like, he's more of a, you know, a number two, you know, more of a number two than anything.
Who won't be there next year.
Who won't be there next year. And then Cole Kmet, pretty good tight end, but not he's been banged up a couple times, and he's not as, you know, consistent as we would like. So again, and then the offensive line has been atrocious every year that he's been there. So there's a lot of factors working against Justin Fields in Chicago, and still, despite all that, you know, from a fantasy perspective, he's still been able to produce for the most part. I mean, we even saw him have multiple 4-touchdown games.
Yep.
With that same offense, right? So we've seen the ceiling. The ceiling's there. We know it's there. We just want, you know, and plus, you know, Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, obviously did not put him in great enough positions to succeed. Now, some of this is on Fields for, you know, his inaccuracies and his problems and him fumbling and turning the ball over and things like that. But that could be a product of the environment that's around him. There's a couple of other things that can potentially explain it away. But, you know, again, you know, Fields hasn't done himself that many favors in spots, but at the same time, he hasn't really had a ton of help around him throughout his entire career. So if he goes to Atlanta, he's got Bijan, he's got Drake London, got Kyle Pitts, who I still believe in. I'm still in on. And because with the Falcons releasing Jonnu Smith, that means it's Kyle Pitts season. We just want to put the word out that we're back up. And you know, Atlanta, they could probably draft another receiver. They don't have a number two guy. So once they get that and add him to the weapons, I mean, look out. That Atlanta Falcons offense is set. Again, I want to put the word out that we back up.
Shout out to the wire.
Shout out to the wire.
Anything else in terms of this the quarterback category?
I think outside of that, I mean, we talked about the top four. Top four is relatively straightforward, and we know, but you know, from 5 to 10, that's where you kind of have a little bit of discussions, and then, you know, it's interesting to see like where the rookies are going, and you know, they're going at an appropriate range. So on the running backs, obviously Christian McCaffrey is number one, but Breece Hall is number two. And if you look at his ADP from last year's ADP was like at 44. Now his ADP is at 6. And so there's big expectations for him in 2024 with Aaron Rodgers returning back from his Achilles injury. Hopefully he can do that successfully. He actually wanted to come back last year, but the Jets weren't good enough to warrant him doing that. And I thought it was going to be relatively impossible for him to do that, for him to come back so soon from an Achilles injury within the same season. That would have been some unprecedented shit.
Yeah.
You know, but Breece Hall number two. But then the next three to round out the top five. Pretty interesting. We got Bijan Robinson at number three, Jahmyr Gibbs at four, and Kyren Williams at number five. So what do you make of the running backs 3 to 5 from an ADP perspective?
I mean, it's obvious where we're going to go to. Kyren Williams, somebody that came out of nowhere, league winner, somebody when he came in hurt. Looked like he was like done and dusted before his career even started, and then just out of nowhere this year, just took Cam Akers' job and ran with it. We know Sean McVay has he's the guy that wants one running back, and he'll ride him out. And you saw what he did with Kyren. He did just that. I think the thing that makes it scary is that Kyren was a 5th-round pick. Like, he could be easily replaced. So that's the one worry that I have, and enough for me that when I see him at 12, I don't feel good doing it. Now, in terms of like a portfolio approach, yeah, I have a couple shares of Kyren just in case, but overall, I don't feel good about it because he could be replaced.
Yeah, the fear here is that the Rams take a running back in day two, and they're easily in play. I even saw like they may even look at one of the free agent guys. Like, you know, there could be like a potential, you know, Josh Jacobs or Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley potentially going there. Those aren't out of the realm of possibility. All right. They could sign a free agent and just completely nuke Kyren Williams' value. So that, you know, his ADP right now is at 12 versus an ADP of last year at 209, basically going for free. Yeah, I don't know if I'll have that much Kyren Williams in my best ball portfolio this year. I know it's February 28th as we're recording this, and we'll release it tomorrow, February 29th, or today, February 29th. But you know, I don't foresee myself having a ton of Kyron Williams. And if we look further down the list, I don't see myself having a ton of Isaiah Pacheco. I think Isaiah Pacheco at 10 is pretty steep for me. I don't see the ceiling that, you know, I don't see the ceiling for him versus like that of a Rashad White or a Kenneth Walker, or, you know, I mean, if Josh Jacobs stays in Las Vegas, he's a volume monster. He can continue to get the ball. James Cook, he should be able to, you know, fend off, you know, 56-year-old Latavius Murray. I don't know if the Bills are going to bring in another running back, but it seems like it's going to be James Cook's backfield and his backfield only. I like him in 2024 over Isaiah Pacheco. I know he's playing for the Chiefs, but I mean, the Chiefs can also do the same thing. Isaiah Pacheco was a 7th-round pick. They can bring in another guy. They can bring in another guy and completely nuke his value. A day 2, potentially day 3 pick and nuke his value. So Isaiah Pacheco is another guy that I'm just kind of iffy on. I don't foresee myself taking a ton of him. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, same thing. Like, you look at his, like, usage. Of course, he, you know, got more touches at the end of the year. But, again, like, he doesn't profile somebody finishing. You basically need him to be an RB1. I don't know if he has the profile to do that unless they're going to throw him the ball more or he does more with the ball. I mean, he did catch the ball 49 times. I mean, no, he had 49 targets. He had 44 receptions, which is a pretty good profile for a running back. But he only scored 2 touchdowns from that. And he didn't even break 1,000 yards. So, in an offense like that, you need his usage to be up more. Even though he was like at the threshold of being an RB1, he finished at what, 15.3 fantasy points per game, which was right there. I think it was like RB16 or somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. He just has to do a little bit more. I don't know if I trust him to get more receptions. Now, again, McKinnon's a free agent, CEH is a free agent, so it'd be interesting what they do, who they add. I know what we've seen whenever McKinnon was healthy, that they preferred to have him as a third down back. So I wonder if they go find a third down back for cheap, even to, you know, supplement Pacheco. So again, I'll have a little bit of shares of him, but, you know, him in the middle of the 4th round when he's between like Rashad White, James Cook, those guys are the guys in the backfield, and they get a lot of passing downward.
Mm-hmm. That's the key. Yeah. That's the key. They get a lot of passing down work, and I know Pacheco was catching a lot of passes, but Kansas City's expected to attack their wide receiver room, and they were dumping the ball off to Pacheco out of necessity because they didn't have consistent wide receiver play outside of Rashee Rice. They just cut Marquez Valdes-Scantling, your boy.
Oh yeah.
they've gotten nothing from Sky Moore. Like, literally nothing. Kadarius Toney's a basket case. I mean, there's Justin Watson. I mean, he'll give you something every now and then. You know, once every 4 games.
He's a good blocker.
He'll give you something once every 4 games. But they were just throwing the ball to, you know, Pacheco out of necessity because they just needed somebody to dump the ball to. And so that's a name to keep an eye on. But I want to go a little bit further down the list. There's one guy that's on this list that I'm kind of interested in your thoughts. Chase Brown at running back 32. Now, this is obviously they're anticipating a Cincinnati finally cutting Joe Mixon because they've been talking about it for the last 2 off seasons. Is Joe Mixon going to be a cap casualty? Is Joe Mixon going to be a cap casualty? Now, I think this is the off season they finally pulled
they
the trigger.
Should. They should pull the trigger
because, you know, the whole thing with T. Higgins and are they going to trade him? Are they not going to trade him? Even though they franchised him, we'll get to T. Higgins there in a little bit. But what are your thoughts on Chase Brown? Did you see enough from him to really warrant an RB 32 price tag?
Did I see enough for him to warrant 32 price tag? No. People are just assuming when they cut Mixon that he's going to be the guy. I don't believe in that. Because a range that we haven't talked about is the 2017 running back class, because all those guys are now free agents and a lot of teams need running backs. And we know the NFL ain't paying running backs. So why won't they just cut him and add one of these guys that you know can get the job done? And you just have Chase Brown with the same role where you come in and just kind of supplement. That's what I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to do. I don't know if they're actually going to do it because they need money to figure out this T. Higgins situation and a couple other players on their defense. But I think that's what they're going to do. And I think people are getting ahead of their skis a little bit with the Chase Brown. But don't let me, I mean, in the same breath, I got a lot of Chase Brown on my teams as like RB5, RB6. So just in case, I'm in on that. But so, overall, so I don't.
So you're a fan of his 92nd percentile 40-yard dash of 4.
Oh, yeah.
You're a fan of his 89th percentile speed score. You're a fan of his 95th percentile burst score, his 86th percentile bench press. You are a fan of that, huh? His 93rd his 93rd percentile college dominator. And all these numbers are courtesy of player profiler, but you are a fan of all these things, okay?
Yeah, he was a monster in college. Let's not get it twisted. Him and his brother are specimens, physical specimens, but that don't mean that I don't think Cincinnati might not keep him in the same role and have somebody else up in there.
Yeah, I do fear that as well. I think they'll probably sign a guy out of free agency because I mean there's a lot of them available, like you mentioned. Right. There's a lot of running backs.
A lot of those 2017 running backs are like in the same cluster, like RB15, RB14, the RB26. They're all there, all of them, and they're all free agents.
Yeah. So yeah, if they're looming. If they're in the vicinity, you just need to got to hold your breath, especially if you're holding on to some of these Chase Browns and some of these guys to make sure that that their values don't get nuked.
Yeah. Oh, hey, before you go on, another guy that's right below Chase Brown that I think people are getting ahead of the skis about is Chuba Hubbard. I know we saw him.
We were heavy on Chuba Hubbard last year, weren't we?
We were. And he did do some good work.
Yeah.
But Miles Sanders is still there. There's a new regime there. That don't mean that Chuba, that's his job.
With the name Dave Canales?
Yeah. This don't mean that this is his job. So RB34.
Well.
I heard what he said. I know.
They commit to one guy.
Yes. That don't mean that's him, though.
But whoever it is. They're gonna get the bulk of the work now.
Yes,
they could. To your point, they could draft a guy and then just create some big cluster. And then that'll be messy. But
yeah,
Miles Sanders. I mean, they paid him right. They paid him a hefty contract in last offseason. I don't know if they have an out this offseason. I don't think they'll cut him. I think he's locked in for 2024, but they probably have an out for 2025. So you'll probably see Miles Sanders in Carolina in 2024.
Yep. They got it out in 2.9 dead cap. So
yeah.
Yeah.
What's their dead cap if they cut him this year?
8.5. They're not doing that. They got a lot of money, so I don't think
they got a lot of money. They don't want to. Yeah. I mean, it's a running back, and then you have a run-focused offensive coordinator coming from Tampa Bay, or that one that utilizes the running back, because they used the hell out of Rashad White last year. Dave Canales used the hell out of Rashad White. So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if Chuba Hubbard is the guy and they don't do anything in the draft, he's going to be a big winner, because we're going to talk about after the draft, we're going to talk about big winners. And if the Panthers don't do anything in the first like five rounds, maybe six rounds of the draft at running back, Chuba Hubbard is going to be a winner. Absolutely.
Potentially
going to be a winner. So we'll keep that in mind. We'll save that discussion point later on in the off season. And then just lastly, rookie running backs. As we mentioned, this is a class that people aren't overly fond of, but a lot of them are running in the combine and they want to change that narrative and make a name for themselves. But the first running back is a guy that's not even running and still recovering from an ACL injury, and Jonathan Brooks. Jonathan Brooks is RB39. He's going at around 127 range, around pick 127. So he's the first running back, the first rookie running back is way down there, followed by Blake Corum at RB41, and then Trey Benson, RB42. And then you got to go all the way down to Bucky Irving at RB46 and Braylon Allen at RB47. So, yeah, these running backs, I mean, people don't want them.
Nope.
But I mean, they'll be end of your roster, bench stashes for right now if you're drafting in best ball. But I think it's relatively on par for how this running back class is being viewed at the moment.
I agree. Let's get to the position everybody wants to talk about though.
Yep. Wide receivers. We got a new sheriff in town. We got a new number one from an ADP perspective. It's our guy, Sadarian Lamb.
What'd you think about that? You said the full name too. What'd you think about him being the first wide receiver, number two overall? What'd you think?
I love Sadarian, man. That's my guy. But number one after me, and look, he's been ascending every single year that he's been in the league, right? He was, you name it. Led the league in targets, receptions, yards. I don't think touchdowns, or maybe he was second in targets. I know he led the league in targets and receptions. So he just had like a phenomenal season. And you know what? That's probably and recency bias is one thing that this community, you know, definitely is grabbed by. They're grabbed by a lot of recency bias, and they use that to kind of guide a lot of their decision making going into the following year. Like, who was the best receiver last year? Okay, we're going to draft him first. It happens all the time, right? You know, the big dogs are still Justin Jefferson. For me, big dog is because I think the Vikings are going to keep Kirk Cousins.
They should. That's my opinion. They should. But I don't know because their defense ain't good. So maybe they want to kind of tear it down. Hearing a little rumblings about him being available for trade. I doubt they trade him because I don't think you're going to get what they want. So,
Yeah. But CeeDee Lamb at number one. I mean, he was the best receiver last year. But I think I would probably have Jefferson there and then CeeDee Lamb. That's just me. But that's the top five. I mean, it's Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and then you have Amon-Ra St. Brown at five. I'm Ron St. Brown. I mean, he had a great season as well, and he's been ripping it up. Last year during best ball season, what was the most common stack that you had, especially if you were at pick 12? It was CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown back to back, right? Mm-hmm. Double tap wide receiver, and that was the ultimate double tap. And I'm sure a lot of people who finished near the top of the top like 5%, top 10%. In the best ball streets had Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown on their teams. The 1-2 turns, yeah, no. I want to say that I actually did a draft where I drafted AJ Brown and Garrett Wilson at the 1-2 turn. So that's the most common one that you're seeing. So comparatively, CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Garrett Wilson and AJ Brown at the 1-2 turn. Even not taking last year into account, I would prefer the CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra stack, the 1-2 turn. But Garrett Wilson is getting Aaron Rodgers back. And, you know, A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, I mean, they've been money together since they've been in Philadelphia together. A.J. Brown has back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons, at least 7 touchdowns in both those years. So, I mean, can't go wrong with any of those guys, but we'll probably see a common thread with, you know, AJ Brown and Garrett Wilson at the 1-2 turn, or maybe even see Puka and AJ Brown at the 1-2 turn. I know Puka's ADP right now is 9. Some people could potentially slip down and or let him slip because they may believe Cooper Kupp is not dead yet. And mm-hmm. We'll get to him in a little bit because he's a little bit further down. I mean, imagine you know, waking up from like a deep slumber, and then you're seeing these ADPs, and you're seeing Cooper Kupp like way down there, going past rookie wide receivers, right? You know, he's all the way down there at wide receiver 26 at pick 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're used to seeing him in like in the top, like what, the top 10,
four, five,
top, four, top five, right? And so. What are your general thoughts on, you know, just some of the things that you're seeing with the wide receivers?
It's interesting. I mean, it's kind of weird to see Nico Collins at wide receiver 9. I know he smashed last year. Go to destinationdevy.com. Check out the Trinity tool where you can see kind of our score in terms of how the wide receivers perform based on a couple of a few matrices that we use. And I think he was number 5. He was one of the 8 or 9 wide receivers that scored over a 9 last season. Just amazing to see that. So it's weird to see him around like the early part of round 2. You still don't want to believe it because it's a Houston Texans wide receiver that is not on the caliber of DJ D-Hop. But, I mean, he smashed, man. So it's interesting to see that, you know, him going over like DJ Moore, who smashed, you know, the veteran like Davante Adams, who's going wide receiver 14. But it is very interesting to see Marvin Harrison at wide receiver 11. Going over people like Davante Adams, Brandon Ayuk, Stephon Diggs. I've taken the dive probably 3 times out of the 30 drafts I've done so far, but I didn't feel good about it because I don't know where he's at. And let's just say best case scenario, he goes to Arizona. We're expecting him to put up 80 for 1,200 and like 8 to 10 touchdowns. So he, you know, legitimizes him being a wide receiver 1, basically. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's possible, but I don't know. I'd rather take my chances with, you know, like Brandon Ayuk, Davante Adams. That's just my opinion. That's who I'd rather use, but I get
guys that
get,
you've seen do it.
Yes, yes. And just think about this for a second. Like, so you got Marvin Harrison at wide receiver 11, Malik Nabers at wide receiver 23. Wait until as soon as the combine comes on your TV, these dudes are going to go up. As soon as you see their measurements, it's going up. So that's why I'm kind of like diving, like I'm grabbing some shares now just in case, because they're going to be like Marvin Harrison's going mid second round right now. This dude's going to be at the 1-2 turn before the weekend's over with. So I'd rather place my bid on some of the veterans since it's just a one year bet. I want to see with somebody like that. If I'm taking Marvin Harrison, wide receiver 11, and you have some of those offenses that he could potentially go to.
Chicago, Arizona.
Arizona potentially, yes. He can probably get those numbers because he'll be the wide receiver 1. He'll just be battling with Trey McBride. But if he somehow goes
Marquise
like
Brown, Marquise Brown's a free agent, right?
He's a free agent. I don't think they're going to spend $20 million on him. Yeah. I don't think it makes sense.
They have Michael Wilson, who we like, but
yeah,
let's be honest. It's Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison will be the dude. It'll be Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride. You know, I mean, honestly, like that offense wouldn't be, I mean.
It wouldn't be bad.
Wouldn't be bad at all. I mean, and they probably add a running back in day 2 to help Kyler Murray. Because James Conner, I know he had a phenomenal year and has stayed healthy. He's surprisingly stayed healthy,
man. Stay healthy in Arizona, which is really healthy, weird.
Right?
Yeah,
he has stayed healthy a lot.
Yeah,
you know, but again, you know that he's a running back, so eventually, I mean that may end up, you know, not being the case in 2024. So they could potentially add another guy in on day 2.
Yeah,
especially one of these guys that we're not. I mean, imagine like, you know, a Bucky Irving in that offense, you know, a little small shifty guy, right? Little shifty guy in there. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is going ahead of Deebo Samuel. What do you think about that?
It makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think it's very appropriate. If you, again, the Trinity score, Brandon Ayuk, he was one of them guys that was a 9 and above for a guy that, you know, didn't see as many targets as some of his guys that were in front of him. I believe he finished third or fourth in receiving yards. And he was the only one within that group that had less than 120 targets. And he finished over 1,300 yards, just a testament to how efficient that offense is. So you want a piece of it.
105 targets.
Bro,
1,300 yards and 105 targets.
And just side note, could you believe Kittle had over 1,000 yards this season and he didn't even have 70 catches?
I believe that because Kittle's always been a high yards per catch guy. He's always been that.
So again, their offense just like doesn't even compute in terms of like when you start when you try to compute, like try to make sense of all these offenses, their offense doesn't even like fit in the mold that you're trying to compute in, because it's just the amount of yak that they produce in that offense is just ridiculous. But
can you imagine like the 49ers adding like another receiver to that to that offense? Given how I think kind of deep this receiver class is, imagine if they add like Xavier Worthy or Jalen Polk or somebody in that offense. Can you imagine one of those guys like being alongside Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and then McCaffrey? I mean, the offense is already unfair, but man, adding one of those little exciting rookies will just take it even more over the top than it already is.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, when you go down this list of the ADP, I think all these, like in terms of how they have them listed, makes sense, except when you get to the group of, when you start seeing some of these Green Bay wide receivers, I think they're a little overvalued because they all cannibalize each other. Like,
I agree.
Again, if you go to the Trinity Score, destinationdevy.com, there's a tool where you can see your wide receiver groupings per team. And if you go to Green Bay, they're all like all five of them are in the same cluster. They all are in the same range of score. So I'm like, why am I going to take them? Let me get the cheapest one then. If they're all going to get the same kind of usage around like 15, 16% target share, why am I paying wide receiver 31 prices for Jaden Reed when I can wait and go get like Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs at wide receiver 42, 41, or even go further and get Dontavian Wicks? Like, why am I paying Jaden Reed at 31? So
yeah, Jaden Reed at 31 is pretty overvalued. You know, he's going before Jordan Addison. He's going before Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin didn't die. I mean, he's still a relatively serviceable receiver. Mm-hmm. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Tyler Lockett's probably on his way out of Seattle, so he'll probably be the number two. You know, we got George Pickens, who just had 1,000 yards, and they'll probably get a quarterback upgrade, I think.
I hope
they get a quarterback upgrade. And Chris Godwin, wide receiver 39, with all the uncertainty with Mike Evans, he could be the number one in Tampa Bay. So all those guys, I would take over Jaden Reed. I like Jaden Reed a lot. Second year guy, he's only going to ascend, but he's a little overvalued in Green Bay, in my opinion. And just lastly, There's some notable rookies that we want to just briefly touch on. We got Troy Franklin at wide receiver 49, Keon Coleman at wide receiver 53. We got Mitchell from Texas at wide receiver 59, Ladd McConkey at wide receiver 62, Xavier Worthy going at wide receiver 63, and then, you know, the last notable one, Roman Wilson, your guy, wide receiver 72. So basically going at the end of your drafts, going for free, and I think in this cluster, you're gonna see some pretty good production in 2024. Landing spot agnostic, but I think you're gonna see some pretty good production from some of these receivers, especially Roman Wilson, Xavier Worthy. I think you're gonna see some pretty decent. Troy Franklin, if he goes to the Chiefs, oof, man,
burner, man, burner.
Yeah, burner. All right, lastly, we got the grossest position, tight end. We got to talk tight ends briefly. Now, the biggest change here is we're not seeing Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews at 1-2. We're seeing Travis Kelce at 2, but number 1 is Sam LaPorta. Sam LaPorta, his ADP last year, around this time, or last year period when best ball drafts closed, was 136.5, and now his ADP is 29.2. He's the tight end one. Finished as the overall tight end one last year, this past season. So what do you make of Sam LaPorta being number one? Appropriate, overvalued, just right?
It is overvalued. It's high, man. Granted, he did have, you know, a great rookie season, one of the best of all time. But if you destinationdevy.com, you use the war machine, you can enter in like the, you know, the settings for the big board, since it's a one quarterback and there's no, is half PPR, even though he, you know, smashed, like it didn't matter. Like in the overall scheme of things, he didn't change you from winning or losing week to week, basically, because because of the scoring, his half PPR. So I mean, yeah, he was great, but okay. I'd rather wait for tight end. Like, yeah, if you want it, you're not really getting a positional advantage when you get some of these tight ends, because they didn't like break tight. Like, we're so used to Travis Kelce. Remember, like 2017 to 2021, 22 average damn near 100 receptions, 1,300 yards, and like 10 to 12 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody like that consistently. Like was breaking fantasy at the position, at the tight end position. That's how you make a difference. Like, you know, Sam Laporta, he did work. Like, even when you go down the list, Evan Engram led tight ends in receptions. He had almost 100 receptions, and yeah, it didn't mean anything when it came down to it. He didn't have the yards. So, just overall for me, I'm not. Yeah, you want one of the elite guys, cool, but in this format, I'd rather just wait, man, because when are we going to see, like, we're seeing at the end of Kelce, what tight end are you going to see that's going to garner almost 100 receptions, 1,300 yards receiving, and double-digit touchdowns? I don't think we will.
You ain't seeing that.
So why am I drafting him, round two, the beginning of round three? I can wait and get Njoku, who pretty much did the same thing. Now I can get him eight rounds later.
Yep.
I can take a chance on Pitts. It's not like I need them to produce every week. I just need that spike week.
You need a spike week. You need them to fall into the end zone.
Yeah. Who do I think can give me those type of spike weeks? People like Kyle Pitts, people like Njoku.
I mean, we saw Evan
Ingram. People like George Kittle.
We saw Evan Engram be super consistent. Like, even if you have like a safe floor.
Yeah,
just constant receptions and yards, with Evan Engram. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Laporta was great, but I don't see like a week to week tight end one overall ceiling that you saw with Travis Kelce all those years. And Mark Andrews is down at tight end four behind Trey McBride. What do you think about that? I mean, I love Trey McBride. Trey McBride was like dominating targets in Arizona, but it just really depends on what they do in the draft. And they get Marvin Harrison. That obviously takes a little bit away from him. But Mark Andrews, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Andrews doesn't like blow your mind in terms of athleticism. But the one thing that him and McBride have, they have a quarterback that can run. If you have a quarterback that can threaten the pocket with their legs, then their yak is usually higher than the other tight ends around them. And if you go and look at Mark Andrews, like over the course of his career, he's always been one of the top guys in terms of yards per reception, yards after the catch, because Lamar Jackson. So that's another thing to consider with some of these tight ends. Like, if you care about the potential for the spike weeks, then I think if your quarterback can run, then I think you have a higher potential of, you know, achieving that spike week for those weeks that your tight end can matter a little bit more than, you know, that general floor that you'll get. Now, the exception would be Kyle Pitts, because they use Kyle Pitts pretty much differently than majority of these other wide tight ends, because since he's been in the league, he's led the tight end position in terms of yards per attempt. I think he's been over like his ADOT's like over 11, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, they use him like down the field. They don't use him like a traditional tight end, like underneath or anything like that. So yeah, they use him like a wide receiver. And he actually lines up out wide a lot, or lines up in the slot a lot. So he's rarely in line. So he does a lot of his damage like in the slot or like out wide. So
yeah.
Kyle Pitts, I'm definitely in on him again. Third straight year. I'll probably start the clown makeup tutorial. Because, you know, I have reason to believe that things will change this year. I think I have reason to believe I'm still in on confidence. So,
yeah, I mean, again, when that McVay tree, man, they know how to use tight ends. Like, we've seen Tyler Higbee smash. You saw Davis Allen. You know, people are hyped up on Davis Allen now because of the potential. You know, with Higbee tearing everything in under the sun under his knee. So the potential is there. So I get it. I've been getting Kyle Pitts in a lot of places too. So I don't blame you. But the rest of the list, I mean, Njoku and Ingram, Kittle, Jake Ferguson, TJ Hockenson, which is overvalued because he's probably not going to start the season. He's probably starting the season on PUP because he tore everything his knee. Yeah. Goddard.
Although, I mean, Hockenson at tight end 12 versus he was like tight end 4 last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the discount you're getting. And then Dallas Goedert, I feel like Dallas Goedert is kind of undervalued, to be honest.
Really? I think all those, that range of like,
because it's tight end 13. It's double, he's like the double digit rounds, and he was going. Yeah. So he's a little bit cheaper this year. I think any opportunity you see with a talented tight end like that, that's going a lot cheaper than he was last year, I mean, there's a little value there, you know.
So, yeah, they're just all the same. Is basically what I'm saying. They're all in the same range.
Yeah, once you get past like tight end 12, or you get in the tight end 12 range, these guys like from a points per game basis and a weekly basis, they're not going to give you, you know, one much over the other. So yeah, you and Brock Bowers is tight end 7. Going ahead of Evan Ingram and Njoku and Pitts. What do you think about that?
And it's funny, we talked about this in the Destination Debbie Discord. Like, we had a whole, I think we've been talking about tight ends for like 3 days now. How they use the tight ends is different than, you know, 5 years ago. They don't have to be like 6'5", 230, and can block and catch. Like, Brock Bowers is like 6'1", 220. So he's going to be a weapon. But again, it's all conducive to where he goes, like how he's used. I don't know how he's going to be used, so why am I drafting him over Evan Ingram? I think he's overvalued. I need to know where he's, like, specifically for a tight end. Like, yeah, he's the best tight end coming out, but okay.
what if he goes to Pittsburgh?
Nah, bro. He's going to be
Arthur Smith being the offensive coordinator.
He's going to be below Cole Kmet, Dalton Schultz. He's gonna be like tight end 16. Like, no, that's crazy, bro.
No, oh my God, they'll use him. They'll make him a blocking tight end,
bro.
They'll send Darnell Washington on more pass routes than him. And although Darnell Washington's athletic, they'll send him on more pass routes, and they'll do like some sort of, you know, goofy ass rotation between the three tight ends, you know, Fryer, Washington, and Bowers. That'll be crazy.
That would be wild. That would be wild. But I'm not taking Brock Bowers at no tight end 7, bro. That's negligence, in my opinion. All right, man. We are at the end of the show. I like this time of the year where we can, you know, talk about what's going on underdog, try to beat the market in some areas that we're kind of seeing right now. And then combine, man, like, this is an exciting time. You know, we've been bored this time of the cycle where after the Super Bowl, before the combine, like, you just see all types of just wild stuff floating around and just people are bored. So now we got the combines here. Now we can, you know, scratch our itch a little bit and, you know, do that with underdog, do that with prize picks 40 times. So it's fun, man. Just make sure y'all head to destinationdebbie.com. They got merch now, so you can get the upside down all gas hat fitted. You know, it's fire. So go and check that out. Also, you can, again, like I've been talking about, the Trinity Tracker tool, where we've been, you know, you can kind of see how we value wide receivers for the past season. You can also see them as a group based on team. You can see their value based on KTC values, based on expected fantasy point scored. So just a lot of good stuff within that tool itself. So make sure you tap into everything that we have going on Destination Debbie Radio Network. Just all the podcasts that we drop in, the articles that we're talking about. You know, Dynasty doesn't stop. So you can see the weekly trade article, how that's broken down in terms of how we're analyzing trade. So just a lot of good stuff coming and what we have going on right now. So make sure you follow us at Off the Line FF on Twitter. You can follow me at Fantasy Genes. That's GENES. You can follow Ike at @Ike09. Ike, you got anything before we get up out of here?
Nope. Just dabbling some of those prize picks, 40 yard dash times, because I'm sure they're going to be moving those pretty quickly, pretty soon. And, you know, take advantage of some of the ones that look like, what the hell is this, right? you know, let's be honest, but no, exciting time. Can't wait for the combine. Can't wait for, you know, some of these ADPs to start changing.
All right, y'all. We'll holler at y'all next week. Y'all be safe, and, you know, let's get some money off of this PrizePicks app, man.
Peace out.